Welcome to God Knows Where. I'm Brett Harris. We are back on our healing journey today after a few weeks away, and we are moving from the way Jesus heals our symptoms, as he did with Simon's mother-in-law in that last healing episode we had, to today how Jesus heals the way we see ourselves and how others see us once we're healed as well. So I hope you enjoy. And I just wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone who listens, to everyone who's ever listened to God Knows Where, because we just crossed 10,000 downloads. Now, those are minuscule numbers to some folks in the podcasting world. Some folks get 10,000 downloads within an hour of releasing a single episode, and it's taken us a little over a year to get there. But that is no small amount in my book. 10,000 times since last January, you or someone like you or someone because of you chose to listen to me try to make sense of these sacred stories we have, or the pitfalls we succumb to in the contemporary church. You took time out of your day to listen to something I had to say, and that just blows me away. Thank you. Y'all are the best. So here's to much, much more to come from God Knows Where in the months and weeks and years ahead. Keep sharing, keep reviewing, keep commenting, whatever. Keep letting people know about God Knows Where, and I hope you enjoy today's episode, Holy Silence. A reading from Matthew 8. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." He stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." We can't make it through life. You, me, none of us. None of us can make it through life, no matter how easy our life may be, without comments said to us or about us shaping the way we see ourselves, the way we carry ourselves in public. And I refuse to sing loudly anywhere except alone in my car, because every time I do sing loudly in public, I'm reminded of being told to just mouth the words to the songs our children's choir sang when my squeaky, changing voice couldn't hit the notes correctly. I've resigned myself to the fact that all musicians need an audience, so I'll just be that for them instead. And I've been self-conscious of my appearance since eighth grade when a childhood friend of mine asked me why my nose was so big, leading several other friends to completely forget my name was Brett over the next few years because of how frequently they just called me Schnoz. And I even inadvertently ruined a friendship on a field trip in third or fourth grade when I pointed out that my friend, who I didn't know was self-conscious about his height, was shorter than the taxidermied grizzly bear on display at the Discovery Center. I could go on and on and on, and I'm sure you could too, with examples of how other people's perceptions of us have shaped how we see ourselves. But I can only imagine. I can't even imagine how the perceptions of what it meant to suffer from leprosy meant for this man who asked Jesus to heal him, how they shaped the way he saw himself and the confidence, or lack thereof, that he carried with him. I've been able to find humor in the comments that folks have made about my singing, opting to belt out any Creed song there is for karaoke and embracing the joke about my nose, turning it into my instant messenger name back when that was a thing. But he couldn't do that. There was no humor to be found with his situation. When he came to Jesus, he came not as a guy who had leprosy, but as a leper. It was his identity. No one saw him as anything other than an untouchable person with an incurable disease. Except Jesus. Jesus saw him differently. Jesus knows he has so much more to offer, so much more potential than this disease allows him to share. And maybe even more than the fact that Jesus cures his incurable disease is what Jesus tells him to do once he's healed. He tells him not to say a word, which is a really odd thing to say after curing someone ailed by a disease that pox and scars the skin. I mean, did Jesus think no one would notice his skin had cleared up, that he was no longer contagious or dangerous to be around? Of course they would. But that wasn't the point. The point wasn't for him to be able to go and tell people what they could see for themselves. The point wasn't about them. The point was about him. Jesus healed him so he could go wherever life, not leprosy, led him, without fear and without judgment and without prior announcement. There's reason to believe this man might have at some point or even in this moment with Jesus been forced to announce himself when he came near the presence of others without leprosy. Some people suffering from that disease wore bells to alert others or verbally announced themselves as lepers when they were in public. They were constantly aware of their disease and had to be vigilant in letting others know about it too. And now, he doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't have to prepare for the looks and the jeers and the steps to the other side of the road, the comments hurled about him, but never to him. He just gets to be himself. He gets to go to worship and to the market and to the river, wherever he wants to go without thinking about this disease anymore. Usually I hate it when Jesus tells people not to go and tell anyone that they've been healed or what has happened in their lives, or when he does tell them that and then they go off running their mouths. It always feels a little off to me. Like, what do you mean I'm not supposed to tell people how you transformed my life, Jesus? Half my high school class is regularly shouting about how their life has been transformed by some miracle product that's definitely not a pyramid scheme, but this man is supposed to keep quiet about this miracle you've done in his life? But here, I love that Jesus tells him to keep quiet. I think it's a holy silence he offers this man. And when we get down to it, I think more and more of the healing that comes to us, however it comes to us, should come with such holy silence. We shouldn't have to find ourselves inextricably linked to the pain that we held for so long, constantly reminded of it by the scars or the memories of others, but rather to be freed from it, to be all we were meant to be without having to talk about those dark days again. No need to revisit the past everywhere we go. The simple freedom to move into the future, healed and whole. And I think there are two reasons why Jesus' request for this holy silence to this man are important. First, we're all more than what happens to us, what life brings to us that we didn't ask to carry. And when these burdens or diseases or anxieties, whatever they may be, whatever they are that we carry, when they come to define us, we end up losing other parts of us, or at least failing to be able to offer more of who we are to the world than this disease. And when we're healed, those periods or experiences in our life, while a very real part of our story, when we're healed from them, they become just a chapter instead of the plot. They're part of our becoming, but they are not who we are. And also, I think it's important for this holy silence to come from Jesus to this man's life because our healing really isn't about anyone else at all. Sure, there are consequences and repercussions of our healing. It all snowballs from there and it does impact other people, but our healing really isn't about anyone else. Jesus doesn't heal this man in order to make others more comfortable with being around him. Jesus heals him to make him whole. And then we have to come to terms with that. The lesson we often take away from these stories where Jesus heals someone from some incurable disease, something that we can see that is now no longer there, is that Jesus can heal diseases and he does so in order to return us to the communities that have excluded us, to allow us to fit back into a society that set up boundaries around us. But I think the real lesson is that Jesus removes those boundaries by healing us and forces those around us to embrace and reconnect with someone who's no longer hurting, who's no longer helpless, who's no longer a hindrance. I mean, probably what I am most proud of during my time as a pastor was the number of healed and healing people who'd been hurting for a long time, who came to call our little congregation home. I don't think any of them had leprosy, but they'd all been excluded by other churches or by their families because of who they were or how they presented to the world or the burdens that they'd been asked to carry that they struggled to keep balanced. And they were just looking to come back to a community, to find a community, maybe for the first time, that would welcome them. So many folks were in the midst of their healing journey who had walked away from a prayer or a conversation with God that had led them to have this desire to return to church. So many of them joined our congregation that one member asked me one Sunday, "How are we going to get more normal folks like you and me to join this place?" I didn't have an answer because honestly, I think there's a lot fewer normal folks out there than we think exist. And I gathered that this person was uncomfortable with the presence of so many folks who they hadn't expected would be or could be healed to be there in church with us. This person was used to them being over there, but not in our midst. But I think that's what God wants. For those of us who've been healed to find a home, and for those of us who've been lucky enough to go through life pretty well unscathed, to wrestle with why we are uncomfortable or to wrestle with our discomfort and to expand our view of what is possible with God and who God calls into our communities, when we see healed and healing people who were hurting now in our midst. Jesus heals this man from his disease, not to make him normal, but so that those whom he encounters will be compelled to connect with him, to ask him questions, to figure out how this happened, to understand him anew, to see him in a new light. The onus had been on him for so long to consider others and his relation or proximity to them and to keep them at arm's distance. And now that he's healed and told to keep quiet, the onus is now on them or on us to reach out and to reach forward to him, to bring him into the community. When we're healed, whether it's from leprosy or from physical or emotional trauma or another disease or whatever it may be, we don't have to say anything in response. We don't have to explain anything to anyone. We simply have to see ourselves as Jesus sees us and go wherever it is that God calls us, ready to do and to be who God is calling us to be, freed from whatever it was that was holding us back. And when we encounter someone who's been healed, whether miraculously or through great perseverance and struggle and effort and prayer, or even, as is more likely the case for us, when we encounter someone who's in the midst of their healing journey, it's up to us to break that holy silence that Jesus offered them by saying, "Come on over. We've got room for you here. You'll fit right in." God Knows Where is written, produced, and edited by me, Brett Harris, with music by Thomas Steinwinder and Michael Trest, and unwavering support from my wife, Elizabeth. If you like what you hear, I'd encourage you to share God Knows Where with your friends and family and give us a review in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this show. It would mean the world to me, and it'll help more people find God Knows Where. Thanks in advance for your help and for being here and for listening. Until next time, take these words from William Sloan Coffin with you. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your minds and think through them, and your eyes and see through them, and your hearts and set them on fire.